Let's pray before we get into this. Lord, just thank you so much for our time together. Thank you for your word. And Lord, will you give us the ears to hear what you'd have to say to us this morning, and hearts soft enough to be transformed by your word. And Lord, if anything I say strays away from your word, please just let it fall on deaf ears. Amen. So we're coming near the in the home stretch now of the hashtag Do You Know Him? Just a few more weeks to go. And this morning we're looking at Jesus again, but more specifically, Jesus as the Son of God and his encounter with a Jewish leader named Nicodemus. I think this is one of the more interesting interactions that Jesus had with someone in all of the Gospels. That's in my opinion. And John is the only gospel writer to mention Nicodemus. And I think there's a good reason for this. Because John was written as the latest of the four gospels. And it's believed that Nicodemus became a follower of Jesus. And the other earlier gospel writers made no mention of him because they were wanting to protect him. This is what's believed anyways. And their letters and accounts were probably being circulated during his lifetime. But you can definitely see the progression of Nicodemus's bravery, or you might say the progression in his faith, in the three times that John mentions him. The first time is here in chapter 3 that we just heard, where Nicodemus, he's a prominent leader of the Pharisees. He meets Jesus in the night, most likely because he doesn't want to be seen talking to the enemy. And Jesus was already developing a reputation and a following. And the Pharisees were concerned that this was going to be leading to a mass rebellion. So Nicodemus was already showing that he had a bit of guts, but he also had some faith in who Jesus might be. But we'll get back to that conversation here in just a bit. I thought I'd mention the other two times that John talks about him. Because the second time John mentions Nicodemus, it's in chapter 7. So the Pharisees, they were already sick of Jesus. They were wanting to have him killed, so they sent out some officers to arrest him. And it was just a failed attempt. But it was during this whole ordeal that Nicodemus stands up amongst his colleagues, and he challenges them. And he says, "Doesn't our law judge a man without first giving him a hearing and learning what he does?" He was wanting Jesus to come in and to plead his case. He was wanting Jesus to speak to them. And then they turn to Nicodemus and start to question him and where his allegiance lies. So they start to question him. So here he is. He's no longer hiding in the shadows. He's being a bit more bold now, to the point where his colleagues are wondering if he too might be one of these followers of Jesus. So that then the third time that he's mentioned is in chapter 19 of John. And this is just after Jesus' death, when he and Joseph of Arimathea, who was also a Jewish leader like him, they prepared Jesus' body for his burial. I mean, this act would have certainly cost them their rank in the Jewish community. And there are other ancient texts that describe how Nicodemus lost everything after this, was kicked out of Jerusalem, and carried on proclaiming the name of Jesus. But really, we don't know what happened to Nicodemus after the burial of Jesus. But I think it's a pretty neat progression, though, isn't it? I mean, he's gone from being curious but scared to challenging his friends and colleagues, and then publicly showing everyone where his allegiance truly lies. But let's get back to that conversation between Nicodemus and Jesus in the dark. Because the first thing Nicodemus says to Jesus is, "Now we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." And I love how Jesus responds to this. It's almost like he's calling something out of Nicodemus, or he's confirming something about him that maybe Nicodemus was too afraid to admit. Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you," Now remember how Nicodemus said, "We know that you are a teacher." But Jesus responds to him saying, "But I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So he's talking directly to Nicodemus. Because there's probably something just stirring inside him that's just causing this conflict, this inner tension and this fear. Because Jesus, if Jesus is who he says he is, Nicodemus has a lot to lose. I mean, his status, his friends, money, power, a lot. But he also probably knows that if Jesus is who he says he is, the Messiah, the Savior, then he has everything to gain. And Jesus tells him, "You must be born again." And I just kind of think that Nicodemus's response was a reaction out of nervousness. Because he asked some kind of dumb sounding questions, really. Like, how can a man be born if he's old? Can a man enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Because rebirth was not a foreign concept to the Jews at this time. When someone converted to Judaism, that was described as being reborn. I think Jesus' response struck a deep nerve in Nicodemus, causing him to ask these foolish questions. He knew what being reborn, born again meant. It meant turning his back on his fellow Pharisees, his job, his security, his own beliefs, his friends and family. I mean, and risking it all to follow Jesus, because whether he liked it or not, Jesus is where the fullness of God resides. And Jesus was just confirming to Nicodemus that he had seen the kingdom of God when he said, "Well, no one can do the things that you're doing unless God is with him." It's like he was saying, "You know what I'm doing is of God. So you have seen the kingdom of God, and you can't see that unless you've been born again." But that's not all. Seeing the kingdom of God and entering into it are two different things. Jesus then said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." And Jesus also said in John 14, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." So now it's starting to get into the hard part. That coming to the Father through Jesus, the entering the kingdom of God and not just seeing it. When I said earlier that Jesus' words struck a nerve in Nicodemus, what I meant is Jesus spoke directly to the spirit of Nicodemus. In this next chapter, in John chapter 4, Jesus has another really interesting encounter with someone. It's the Samaritan woman at the well. And it's in that conversation Jesus says, "God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." So God is spirit. And the creation story in Genesis, it says, "Let us create man in our likeness, in our image." And in chapter 2 of Genesis, God formed man from the dust and just breathed the breath of life or spirit into his nostrils. So we are spiritual beings created in the image of a God who is spirit. And there's so much confusion on the topic of spirituality in this day and age. I've met those who say that the universe is spirit that speaks to us and guides us. And those who believe that the spirit of a loved one that has died is looking over them as some sort of guardian angel. There are actually quite a few that believe this. And I'm not about to stand here and pretend that I fully understand what it means to be a spiritual being. But what I do know, what I think I know, is that when God created mankind, he set mankind apart from the rest of creation. When he breathed that breath of life into man, giving him a spirit. But from what I understand, our spirit is something, it's not something that is just separate from the person. I think we have this idea that they're almost compartmentalized, the spirit side and the flesh side, and they're always duking it out. But in fact, it's quite the opposite. Our spirit is our innermost self, our true self, who we are at our core. Our flesh and our actions are far more intertwined with our spirit. Our spirit is what shapes our character. It informs what we do, the type of person we are, then the things that we value. But the problem is, our spirits have been marred by sin, trained and influenced by a sinful world. So even in our best efforts and our best intentions of wanting to be and do good, our spirits aren't ready for that. They haven't been shaped for that. The last few verses of John chapter 2. So this is just right before John records the Jesus' encounter with Nicodemus. He writes this. Now when Jesus was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs that he was doing. But Jesus, on his part, did not entrust himself to them. But he knew all people and needed no one to bear witness about man, for he himself knew what was in man. Is at the core of man is a doomed for death and dysfunctional spirit. So Jesus tells Nicodemus, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And Jesus was probably referring to Ezekiel 36, where it says, I want to sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will give you a new heart, and I will put my spirit within you. So the core of man in its current state prevents us from being what God requires, unless God intervenes and restores us at our core. I will give you a new heart. I will put my spirit within you. That is the only hope we've got. And that is exactly what we have been given through Jesus. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. And now, the Holy Spirit speaks directly to our spirit, just as Jesus did with Nicodemus. The works of the Holy Spirit is to draw our attention to Jesus and to glorify Jesus. And he invites us into this process of entering the kingdom of God. Now, believing in Jesus is like seeing the kingdom. But living like Jesus allows us to enter the kingdom of God here and now. And that's what the Holy Spirit has come to do, to help us love and live as Jesus did. I don't want to just believe and just know the right stuff and not be transformed in my core. I want to live as Jesus lived. And I pray that that's the cry of your spirit as well. Amen.